The world of sports media has become dry, boring, and predictable. That's why we created the Free For All Sports Podcast, starring Greg Reynolds, Joel Raggett, and Steve Bigg. Nothing personal, it's only sports.
Welcome back to the Free For All Sports Podcast. I'm Greg Reynolds with Joel Raggett and Steve Bigg.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, wow. Really good entrance, guys. Really well done.
He wants to burst through the door. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it's radio. And we're back.
Oh, it's Plopper and the kids here at the pool. Blah, blah.
I'll put an explosion sound effect in. How about that?
A gunshot. Hey, the IT guy doesn't want us to talk any more Flames because he doesn't think it's topical. So we're going to go a little bit north, and we're going to start with the Oilers on today's show. And the question for today's show to start off is, why aren't they good yet?
Because their coach is terrible.
Who? Where did he come from, by the way? All of a sudden, the Oilers are being coached by Ralph Kruger. And you expect him to have really slick hair and just a thin little mustache.
Mustache? Is he Swedish?
I'm pretty sure German.
Oh, Ralph Kruger. I got you. Okay, Ralph Kruger. Well, there you go. I mean, instead of skating, they're doing the high boots as they skate out onto the ice.
Krogus Krauts.
They got bad goaltending. Their forwards don't do anything in their own end other than cough the puck up. Their defense is a joke, and they're poorly coached.
But they got Ryan Smith, and that guy's the heart and soul of Edmonton.
Well, but he's even been watching from the rafters.
I like how you're surprised. Like, when he came back to Edmonton, it was like, oh, my God. Ryan Smith, it's time for a championship.
But the best thing was, at one point, there was a decision to be made between Calgary and Edmonton. You imagine if the Flames got stuck with that albatross as well? I mean, they're bad enough as it is.
Hey,
talk that one up.
You're not allowed to talk Flames, the IT guy said.
He can edit my voice out.
Oh, he doesn't know how to edit.
Well, then fuck him.
Big, give me a real... Joel basically said everything is wrong. That's why the Oilers don't win yet. But there's got to be one underlying reason.
I think they need a goaltender. I honestly do. As lax as they are, or seem to be defensively, I mean, the Oilers have nice pieces. Yeah, they probably need another decent defenseman on top of the goaltending, but Ralph Kruger.
Kruger.
He's a very strange choice. I mean, I don't know if they were planning on just bringing a new guy in so they could build the system up and have all these guys sort of grow into it. But whatever they're doing right now, it's not working. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, which is certainly not looking very promising for them, and say they're out again next year, what do you do with this team? Like, most people, including myself, thought that this would have been the year that they sort of make the jump and at least become a respectable hockey team again.
Well, young legs, short season equals success. That's how it's supposed to work. Look at the Blackhawks, right?
Yep.
And it's not working. I agree. I don't think that it's necessarily defense. I do think they could use a better goaltender. Maybe they trade for Jonathan Bernier. I mean, he's out there.
Yeah, well, there's a few goaltenders that are sort of in the same situation as Bernier, but Bernier is obviously the one that LA's been sitting on for a couple of years. With the contract they gave John Quick, I mean, Bernier's not going to be the starter there, so I'm surprised that the Kings haven't moved him yet. The asking price is probably pretty steep, but the Oilers have the pieces to get a deal done.
Well, I mean, why not just send away your upcoming first-round pick, which is going to be a lottery pick?
Maybe. Because nobody wants that.
Why would they not want that?
Because, you'd have to wait until after the lottery's actually done and you're firm to get one of the top four. Then... okay, right now I bet the asking price, if you were to go talk to the guys in LA, they'd probably ask for Taylor Hall.
What about Hemsky and your lottery pick?
That doesn't make sense financially, not for LA. Hemsky's contract is way too high, and Hemsky's terrible. I mean, he's really fun to play with in NHL 13, but you watch him actually play, the guy is as soft as it comes. He's really, really poor in his own end, and he's not as creative in the offensive zone as people seem to think.
I think you're not giving him enough credit. He doesn't live up to his contract, but he is a fairly skilled player that could work on a team.
He doesn't get the point totals to prove it, though.
Why do you think Pittsburgh's been after him the last three trade deadlines?
because Pittsburgh's willing to give away nothing in order to get him. Pittsburgh will dump grinders to add talent because talent plus talent works in Pittsburgh. It's not working in Edmonton, but it works in Pittsburgh.
So another curious case in Edmonton is Ryan Whitney. Guy was great in Pittsburgh when he played there. And now, I mean, one of the things the Oilers like to do is really screw with defensemen. They did it with Surre, who's good again, and now they're doing it with Whitney, and I don't really understand it. They bring in these guys, and then they just sort of slap them in the face.
There's something strange about Edmonton. It's been that way for years. Maybe it's something to do with, you know, everybody talks about how Edmonton's got the best ice in the NHL, and second to none, but, you know, Edmonton's just been crazy with injuries the last couple of years. And it's almost at the point where you can talk about them being soft, you can talk about them just being loaded with guys who are injury-prone, but Surre was never truly healthy in Edmonton. Whitney's had major injury problems since he went there. It just seems to be that if you come into Edmonton under a big contract like that, it's difficult to stay healthy enough to justify it.
But Ryan Whitney is healthy, and they're still holding him out of games.
He's been playing a little bit more lately.
Yeah, but you remember his tirade, Joel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, when he was talking to the media, and they were saying, "Yeah, I gotta get out of here," and then nothing came of that.
He's like, "I don't hate them. I think they hate me. I don't really get it."
It's just very, very strange that you can sit there in the locker room, go off like that, and management doesn't. I mean, didn't he go back into the game? Didn't they start playing him again after that?
You know what that is?
Doesn't make sense.
That's classic high school best friend girl fight. I hate her. I don't know why she has a problem with me. And then they're best friends the next day. You know, having a sleepover.
It's been a long time since I was in high school, Greg. I don't get the analogy.
That's true. People don't get the strap anymore, by the way. That's not a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder you kids are all fucked up.
I think you've sort of answered your own question about why Whitney hasn't been playing. And that is probably due to discontent. So when he exploded, when they start playing him again, that could very well be to maybe showcase him for a trade. Defensemen are still in demand, even guys with big contracts. I mean, they've been talking a lot about Jay Bouwmeester possibly being available and teams being interested just because defensemen are in such short supply.
But if
I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton was playing him again to marginally increase his trade value.
But if they're in such short supply, they're in short supply, and the teams that really need them are teams like Edmonton. And you have him.
Yeah, but if he's not happy, then you got to move him, right?
Well, make him happy.
Where's
Craig Conroy's wife to make a defenseman happy when you need her?
Now.
Whoa, that was never...
Well.
Well. I'm not even going to touch that. But, if you're talking about a guy who's not happy there and he's got a decent contract and the team's not playing well, how are you going to make him happy?
More ice time?
Really? Do you think that's going to make him happy so he can be -4 instead of -2?
I guess.
Like, put him out there with Schultz.
Yeah, put him with Schultz. No, they're both too offensive.
So what?
Yeah, run and gun.
Yeah.
First 1-10 wins.
Isn't that weird that Justin Schultz picked Edmonton over Anaheim, and now Anaheim's like 15-3?
Yeah, that's... And there's another team. It's not that Anaheim's even starving for defensemen. Their defense corps is actually pretty good. But, yeah, throw Justin Schultz on that team? Whew.
That would be ridiculous. He would have to play almost second power play unit because they're so talented.
Well, yeah, it'd be him and Tony Ludman on the power player. He'd be out there with Beauchemin. Imagine.
But I know Steve Big hates the Ducks, but I like watching the Ducks play because when they put Perry, Ryan, and Getzlaf together, they're just too good. What is it with teams in Los Angeles playing hockey that are so much better to watch than anything we have in Alberta?
Well, it hasn't always been that way.
Wouldn't you kill for that, though? Wouldn't you kill for an LA and Anaheim in Alberta? Flip those two around. Nobody would notice in LA
or
in California.
It's all cyclical. It'll come back around.
Not like this, it won't.
Sure.
Not the way these teams are being run, but...
You can't honestly tell me you can even compare to what's going on in LA right now to what Alberta had for all of the 80s. I mean, Alberta had, owned the 80s.
I'm saying right now is...
Yeah, but like Joel said, it's cyclical. It'll come back around. I mean, there were a lot of years in the LA area where there were some awful hockey being played.
Yeah, it was pretty lean in California for quite a while.
So what do you do?
The Kings went almost a decade without having a competitive team.
What do you do if you're Anaheim? Because Corey Perry still hasn't signed, and you could lose him for nothing at the end of the season.
And Getzlaff.
Getzlaff is going to, it sounds like they've basically got a deal for him. But it sounds like Perry's not even talking.
Well, you see, the problem is that both of those guys are going to command long-term deals upwards of probably $8 million a year. Would you say that? That's certainly what Perry would be asking.
Yeah.
Would be in the 8 range, and I would imagine the Getzlaff wants between 7 and 8 at least as well.
But don't you think they can afford it? Because they're going to get two contracts off the books pretty soon when Solani and Koivu retire.
Well, that's the thing, is they really have to weigh their options, because if they lose Perry to free agency, Solani and Koivu retire, all of a sudden they're a lot thinner, particularly up front, than they are right now, so they really have to make a choice. I think the problem is that Perry wants to test the market, and there's going to be somebody out there, probably in the East, that's going to pay him a shitload of money to play for their hockey team. Not to mention, I think he wants to play out East. I don't think he's happy on the West Coast.
Who do you think you'd want to... Well, how could you not be happy playing in Anaheim?
Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. It would be a dream. I would love to play in Southern California.
Especially with
that kind of money.
The only problem is nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, but that's sometimes part of the draw.
Yeah.
Not when you're going out like Corey Perry is. Hi, I'm on the list. I play for the Ducks. Yeah, who are the Ducks? Oregon? No?
Wow. No, it's not quite that bad anymore.
Wait.
it's not quite that bad. You want to pigeonhole L.A. as not being a hockey market, and historically it isn't really, but the Kings have always done well. The Kings have always sold really well, and the Ducks, both teams have rings now in the last half a decade. So hockey has a lot more of a presence down there than it did. So guys like Corey Perry are sort of, you know, on the list, so to speak.
But a lot more than zero isn't a lot.
Yeah. The reason I don't think he's happy on the West Coast is because I think he wants to play closer to home, and somebody's going to pay him the money out there.
Who?
Toronto.
Does Toronto have the room?
Toronto's going to be in the mix.
Toronto can send Joffrey Lupul back to Anaheim.
I think they're pretty happy with Lupul.
Oof. Yeah, but they've got to get some of that money off. Him and Clark MacArthur are going to Toronto for Perry. That's actually what I was hearing on TSN, is that they were saying that Perry could be on the move before the trade deadline.
For who?
Well, they didn't say any specifications, but Anaheim said the guys on TSN were saying Anaheim will look to deal Corey Perry at the trade deadline, or could be, because they don't want him to walk without any...
You know what that is, though, Joel?
I would say it's more likely than not that he plays elsewhere next year.
You know what that is, Joel? That's TSN trying to boost their shitty 24 hours of trade deadline coverage.
No, absolutely. Couldn't.
Where's Corey Perry going to go? And then he doesn't, because they put all these big names into a pot to get people to watch for 24 straight hours.
Yep.
And us honkies up here, we love it. Of course, we're glued to the TV all day. Well, oh, who got traded? A sixth rounder for Chris Bork? No way.
The problem with trading Perry is that Anaheim is likely going to be in the playoffs here. So it's tough to deal a guy like that when you're... I mean, they could have one of the top four seeds if they keep playing the way they are.
I mean, really, let's be honest. You can pencil Anaheim into the playoffs right now.
Yep, sure. And that's why it becomes a lot more complicated to look at dealing a guy like that, because then you basically said, it's not likely we're going to go very deep in the playoffs this year.
You've got a lot more
top score.
You've got a lot more free agency leverage to a guy that just went to the Western Conference Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals versus a team that finished in Columbus range.
Yep.
Well, and don't forget, we're only 2 years removed since a scoring title for Corey Perry as well. So, I mean, what's the asking price going to be for that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Better question, what's the asking price for Roberto Luongo?
It's a lot right now. From what I hear, I don't think Vancouver's all that happy with Corey Schneider. And from what I understand, Schneider could be the one on the go now.
Luongo's not getting traded.
He's not getting traded.
He's worth more. Yeah. He really is. He's the younger guy. You can't keep both. You can't. And right now, you're going to get more return for Schneider than you are for Luongo. And Luongo's the better, playing better right now. He just is.
In all reality, he's always played better. Schneider had half a season.
Absolutely.
And so,
not even really.
But why isn't anybody making a serious run at one of those two goaltenders? Is it because you have the Berniers out there? And I've heard a couple of other names out there that are, you know, decent goaltenders that could be on the move at the trade deadline. Is that why one of these guys isn't more attractive to a struggling team right now that has no goaltender, like a Florida?
Who are the other goaltenders that you've heard about, just for conversations?
I really honestly can't even remember the names. I just know there are...
Older guys?
No, they're younger.
Yeah.
They're backups right now.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing, is if you've got a really good backup that has a lot of potential, it's probably the same problem as Bernier in L.A. The asking price is probably really, really steep. If you have a goaltender like a Schneider or a Bernier, you're probably asking for a good, at the very least, roster player.
Top six forward, maybe.
Yeah, a prospect for sure, and a pick or two, you know?
But say you're Edmonton. Let's go back to Edmonton for a second. Say you're Edmonton. Or, you know what, let's go to Columbus, because the Steve Mason experiment is over.
Yeah, for Christ's sake.
If I have to listen to those two idiots on TSN in the morning talking about Bobrovsky, you didn't read him as Miranda rights.
Come on, that's so funny.
Talking about that guy like Bobrovsky's apparently some Polish cop.
It's funny.
Every morning, it's funny, but not every morning.
Oh, it's funny every morning. Okay, so
coming from a guy who used to worship Mike Richards' show.
Yeah.
This isn't Mike Richards.
Go to Tampa Bay then. Tampa Bay's got the highest scoring team in the league. And who are their starters? Lindbach.
You were
and
stuck in Lindbach's cock last
year.
Yeah,
you were all over Tampa. Yeah, but
he was 7-1.
Well, yeah, but you were saying that they'd finally found that goaltending that they needed.
Listen, when you're 7-1, you look like you're pretty good.
Yeah.
See, my question is how are their teams that are just stocked full and the pond just keeps getting deeper with goaltenders? Boston, great example. St. Louis. Anaheim. I mean, where did this
Anaheim cranks goaltenders out. It's pretty...
Who?
Well, Nashville for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Look at the guys that came out of Nashville. Nashville was a goaltender factory and still probably has another couple guys coming up to the wing. Cause isn't that where Lindbach came from?
Yeah.
That is where Lindbach
was Nashville. And, you know,
that's
you got
where
guys...
Vokoun was.
Yeah, Vokoun before...
Before Rene.
No, but even before Ellis...
Yeah, and Dan, right?
Chris Mason.
Yeah, Chris Mason was there for a while. I mean, and, you know, a lot of that probably for guys like Chris Mason, it has to do with the system and Ryan Suter and Shea Weber playing half an hour in front of you every night.
Is that
but even still, they crank out some pretty good goaltenders.
Is that what it is? Is it the system in front of it? Is it like the ability to recognize who's going to be an unbelievable goalie? Is it the development? What is it that these certain teams have that they just continually crank out good goaltenders? Because
it's scouting.
Flames aren't one of these teams. The only way they've ever had a good goaltender, since Mike Vernon, was to trade for it.
It's scouting and it's your goaltending coaching.
It's development.
Yeah. Well, and scouting, though. Because if you don't pick the right guys, they're not going to work out for your scouting or for your development.
Well, I mean, Halak's kind of the exam is you get a pass on Halak going to what's it called? They saw Halak in Montreal, and he had that one run in the playoffs, and St. Louis had to have him. But Brian Elliott was another one that was a bit of a cast off, and they resurrected his career. But the young guys that St. Louis have had are unbelievable. And
I think there's a
tons
certain
of them.
I think there's a certain tangible that you can't measure, particularly when it comes to goaltenders, and that's the ability to handle pressure. Because other than a starting pitcher starting game one of the World Series or a starting quarterback in the NFL, goaltenders have more pressure on them than anybody else. I mean, you look at a team like the Philadelphia Flyers, who has never been able to keep a goaltender. No matter what they do, they brought in some good goaltenders, and they've sent some goaltenders elsewhere that have played all right. But it's all about, how do you react under pressure? When the games get really tight, are you the kind of guy who can think a step ahead of the play? Or are you a guy who, unless the team is playing stalwart in front of you, you get hung out to dry? And you can't measure that. I think a lot of it in the NHL is you just have to get lucky with your goaltenders. Because typically, most goaltenders, especially prior to the last couple of years, come from deep in the draft. I mean, for a long time, it was unheard of to select goaltenders in the first round. And it still somewhat is. I mean, how many goaltenders do you see that get taken very high? Not a whole ton.
That actually work out? Not very many.
Yeah.
Carey Price.
Carey Price, and Roberto Luongo is another guy who was really high up in the draft.
I guess you could say Fleury, but really, I don't know.
Well, Fleury won a cup. DiPietro.
Yeah, but Fleury didn't win a cup. Fleury, like, won a cup.
He played pretty well.
Eh.
I've never been a Marc-Andre Fleury fan.
No, me neither, ever since the shoot-it.
That's why we all hate him.
Yeah.
That's why we all hate him.
That one goal. And the orange pad, or the yellow pads. That was my problem, was the stupid yellow pad and shooting it off the defenseman into his own net.
Yeah, but those were both super ignorant.
But even when we're talking about those guys, those are guys from recent years. Like, through much of the 90s, look at the track record of goaltenders that were taken high up. Trevor Kidd is a prime example.
Oh, he made every glove save look so hard.
He had a decent couple of years for a bad team in Calgary, but he wasn't a seventh overall pick when all was said and done.
Martin Brodeur was another first-round pick, FYI.
Yeah, but he was taken, what?
22nd.
22nd?
Yeah, like
same year as Kidd was taken.
Could have gone to Calgary, but Calgary traded the pick.
And Brodeur, in my mind, is really the only goaltender from the 90s that sticks out that was taken that high up. A lot of other guys that were taken that high never, ever panned out.
You know what's weird about this season? And Joel, you'll like this because you're a hockey poolie.
Right.
Goaltenders are not stealing you a lot of points like they should. Like the guys that have taken the Henrik Lundqvists and the Yaroslav Halaks and the Jonathan Quicks, not getting you a lot of points like you thought they would at the start of the season. When you thought you nabbed yourself a really solid goaltender and you're stuck with a Henrik Lundqvist right now, you're not very happy.
You know who was stealing me points left, right, and center like a burglar? Cam Ward. Thank you very much, Cam Ward, for blowing out your knee. Next 2 weeks, I'm fucked.
Yeah, well...
Thanks for that.
Same with people who took Kiprusoff, right?
Well...
Yeah, but a lot of goaltenders
in their right mind
down.
Would take Mika Kiprusoff. Does anyone think the Flames would win games?
Well, and those who took Corey Schneider, not very happy. Probably really excited about the possibilities of that. But you're right, Steve. With the shortened season, I do think it's affected the goaltenders the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why you got to have these two goalie systems. That's why Khudobin's in tonight for Boston.
Yeah.
And these teams that are playing pretty good, although
you're playing so many back-to-back games that it's tough to keep running your goaltender. I mean, you look at a team like San Jose that came into Calgary last night. They played less than 24 hours before in Vancouver.
And the plane couldn't come in again. Calgary got two rat wins because of weather. Let's just throw that out there.
Who's the other goalie in San Jose?
Thomas Greiss.
Oh, Greiss.
He's going to play for
I don't know why he's not in Edmonton right now.
Yeah.
Playing for Kruger's Krauts.
And you know who they could get? They go get Yui Krupp.
Oh, yeah. You can score some winning goals. One last thing before we get off of hockey or on hockey.
I got a quick question about hockey real quick. Okay, how many games is this Blackhawks thing going to go before they finally lose one in regulation? How many more games do you think they can go?
It's going to happen soon. Can't go much longer.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. So their next, I'll just give you five. They're at Colorado.
Oh, yeah. No, they lose that game to Colorado because Colorado played them really tight.
Well, all their games have been real tight.
Like
they beat Columbus in overtime. They beat Detroit in the shootout. They beat
Minnesota with an empty netter.
And then they beat Colorado 3-2.
Yeah, they have won a lot of really close games. That's true.
How about the game against the Stars on the 16th in Dallas? Or it's got to be the Ducks on the 20th.
I'd say it's done in Colorado.
You're saying the next game. You're saying tomorrow night it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually going to say they go all the way to that stupid Ducks game on the 20th. That'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's six. That'll be their. They're going to win five more.
Big.
Yeah, I'll go past the Ducks game.
Really?
Now that I think about it. Yeah, I think they got another couple in them. In Anaheim. Yeah, I don't know.
Anaheim's not that tough of a place to play.
Yeah, I think Chicago's a better team than Anaheim. That's what it comes down to. Chicago's better than all three of those teams.
One thing that I hate, even though I do respect this streak, is the idiots that go back to last season. Those streaks do not count.
No.
Nope. It's like the people that say, well, in baseball, well, he's on a 50-game hitting streak because he hit 30 straight last season. That's not the same.
No,
it's not a streak.
In that case, the Patriots won like 26 games in a row or something. Yeah. Retarded.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
It's just, I hate, and the one last thing I wanted to touch on, visors. Why the hell isn't everybody wearing them?
Yeah, that was scary, that Mark Stahl thing. Fuck, man.
Oof. Wouldn't have been if he wasn't an idiot.
Oof.
I want to show my big moose face more. So let me get this visor off of my helmet.
The worst thing is these guys, like, it's going to take somebody losing an eye finally for them. Anyone remember Brian Berard?
I was just going to say, it's already happened.
If you want to fight,
Manny Malhotra.
If they're going to fight, Malhotra is another good one. If they're going to fight, let the guys take their helmets off.
Yeah.
Do it like they do in the dub. Do it like they do in all junior hockey. Just tell the guy, yeah, we got to flip our lids. Take off your helmet. That way you're not breaking your knuckles on some guy's helmet anyway, because that hurts like a bitch.
Better than that is Chris Pronger still can't see right out of his eye that got clipped by Phaneuf.
Is that what it was? I thought it was that hit.
It's a helmet and an eye that he's struggling with right now. It's a head and an eye, sorry.
You know what the scary thing is about visors is that they don't even completely solve the problem. And, I mean, it doesn't prevent you from getting high stick. Somebody gets their stick up in there, it can be just as bad as if you're not wearing a visor. That's
a lot harder,
thing.
Though. I mean, that's...
It is a lot harder, but it doesn't completely solve the problem.
No, but you're never...
Do they need to look at a full cage?
No.
What if?
Because that's a douchey look.
You're going to say football players look like douches because they have cages on their helmets?
What does aesthetics have to do with player safety? Give me a break.
Don't tell me you don't judge the guys wearing full cages in the junior because they're 16.
No.
Yeah, you do.
That's the rule.
Nah, they look like idiots.
They're smart.
I prefer it because then I know who's coming up in the draft in a couple of years.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, otherwise, I don't know.
I just think go visors for now. I don't understand why more people aren't using them. You're right, Steve. It doesn't solve the whole problem, but at the same time, it's a step in the right direction. The problem with everybody associated with the NHL is they're so goddamn stuck in their ways. Oh, well, we can't break tradition, and it's always been this way. And I mean, Chris Pronger, I was just telling you, the guy still has trouble with peripheral vision in one eye. He doesn't have it because he got high-sticked. And he says, you know what? I don't think visors should be mandatory. Really?
No, he's an idiot, though.
Okay, yeah. Spare me the sob story about Chris Pronger.
You hate Chris Pronger, don't you?
Most people do.
I don't hate Chris Pronger.
Well,
you should.
That's Chris Pronger's a topic for another time. All anybody needs to do is listen to Stevie Yzerman, because he got a really bad eye injury towards the end of his career.
Yeah, that hit him, right?
Yeah. Afterwards, he said, if I could go back, I would have worn a visor my whole career. Most of these guys will say, oh, yeah, I don't wear a visor because I know it's an assumed risk and all that. But I guarantee if most of these guys were to lose an eye or get a serious eye injury and look back, they would say, why the hell was I ever so stupid as to say I accept the risk? Because until you lose something like that, you have no idea what the risk actually is.
You're listening to the Free For All Sports Podcast. Nothing personal, it's only sports.
$1 million. Would you guys dunk a basketball for $1 million?
No.
Yep.
Oh, wait.
You heard about the wager, didn't you?
Yeah, from Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
What's this all about?
Magic offered LeBron and Blake $1 million to whoever wins the dunk competition if they both enter.
What was funny was, like, the day that report apparently came out, everybody was showing LeBron missing a dunk in warm-up during warm-ups. He was dunking, he rattled one off the rim. They're like, oh, why would anyone want this guy in the dunk contest?
Have you seen some of his pregame dunks? They're absolutely incredible.
Retarded.
Oh my goodness.
So Greg, why do you think Magic did that?
Because he's old school, and he remembers the MJ dunk contest and the Spud Webb dunk contest, and he remembers these glory days of the dunk contest, and now he sees goddamn Terrence Ross winning it with a shit dunk, and he's like, man, the dunk contest sucks. But if we could get LeBron James and if we could get Blake Griffin back, that would bring credibility and it would bring back the nostalgia of the dunk contest.
But that's
a quick move,
because there was never, it's not like Patrick Ewing and and the boys, shouts for you, big, your buddy, Patrick Chewett, and the boys and all the great dunk guys were all in it at the same time. You never got to see Dominique Wilkins against Spud Webb against
Wilkins and Jordan went head-to-head 1 year.
Against Sean Kemp. It's not like all the guys were all in at the same time. That's garbage. It's not true.
Sean Kemp would do it for $1 million.
Sean Kemp would do anything for $1 million. He'd probably suck Magic's cock for $1 million.
You don't necessarily have to see all of the best players at once, but you have to at least see somebody good. There has to be at least one premier player in the dunk competition, even if he mops the floor with everybody else. Just to see the one guy would be enough, but to see two guys, I really like what Magic's done. I think that's a cool move, and because he's not associated with the NBA and has oodles and oodles of money, he's able to do something like this. It's quite the publicity stunt.
But,
I don't know. I like it.
But here, my one thing about the dunk contest is I feel like you can't do anything new anymore. It's so hard to impress somebody watching the dunk contest these days because they've seen everything.
It's true.
Yeah. See, what my solution is you do like the NHL has done and actually make players that are in the game participate in the skills thing. Like Terrence Ross didn't play in the All-Star game. He was in the
Future
Stars or whatever, maybe, or whatever it was, but he's not in the real game. So what's the, why? Why even bother? Get Pau Gasol in there to see what he can, see him go off a trampoline and try to dunk one at 7 feet.
Okay, other than dunk competition, if you were to turn it into like a skills competition, what other skills would you have?
Well, they've got the three-point shooting thing. You could do
spinning
like
a basketball on your finger.
That's pretty cool, though.
You could,
yeah. Just play Sweet Georgia Brown.
Yeah,
and get,
everybody
and get
trots
Sweet
out on the
Gold
Stars uniforms. Yeah.
Get who?
Sweet Lou.
No.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou.
There's nothing about any skills competition that I care about anymore, except the home run derby.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I love the home run derby too.
You what?
Hardest shot.
No, that's the worst.
No, it isn't, because at least that's legit.
How?
It's going to be Chara that wins.
They've all got these new age sticks that make you shoot the puck way harder than anybody else could before. They're not Ally Afraidy anymore. The only time it was cool was Ally Afraidy, because the dude had a bullet.
And a wooden stick.
Yeah. So yep. The hardest shot thing for me, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care.
I'm going to keep going up as technology keeps improving, but everybody has access to that technology, so you can all use the same stick if you want.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like if Josh Hamilton went up there with a cork bat for the home run contest.
See, the problem
everybody could use a cork bat, but they would all ding 60 home runs.
Actually, not a bad comparison. I like that.
The problem with the home run contest is that it's not game scenario.
There isn't a problem with the home run contest. It's the best.
There's lots of problems with the home run contest. How many outs do you get in an inning?
Steve, back me up.
How many outs do you get in an inning? Simple question.
How many outs do you get in an inning? 3.
Right. How many outs do you get in a home run contest?
10, only if you swing.
How many outs do you get in a game?
You get 27.
There you go.
Plus, you've got your batting practice coach throwing cream puffs down the middle. The batting, the home run contest is the stupidest of all of the contests in any all-star competition. It's retarded.
If they were cream puffs, then why wouldn't everybody have like 75 home runs in an inning?
Because you wear down, and they're human.
No, some guys get one in the first round. You don't wear down after 10 pitches.
Some of the best home run hitters out there flop in the home run derby, and sometimes you see guys who aren't necessarily power guys win it.
What you ought to do is
you get to hear back, 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 back. I love that. It's the best.
Chris Berman is so over the top now.
It's the only time I really put up with Chris Berman.
His shtick is played.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Berman's like a fine wine, like Kobe Bryant. He gets better with age.
There was no point lower in the history of television than game 2 of the Monday night opening in football when they did play-by-play for that Raiders.
That was really bad.
Chargers game. Exactly. Terrible.
Why?
Because he's no good at it. He makes everything into a pun, and it's not funny anymore when it's that
much. That's the thing about the home run derby, is that it's about the pageantry. The home run derby isn't something to be taken seriously. I mean, you look at the players at the home run derby. You see Red Sox and Yankees hamming it up on the sidelines. You know, guys laughing, guys with their kids, stuff like that. Like, the home run derby is not Game 7 of the World Series. And that's the way it should be for stuff like that. I think that's part of the appeal of the home run derby, is just a night at the ballpark, and everybody loves the long ball.
For my money, baseball does the All-Star game in an entirety by far the best out of any major sport.
I vote for that as well.
Couldn't disagree more.
Who does it the best? The Pro Bowl?
No, the Pro Bowl is obviously the worst.
Yeah.
Followed by, the actual game, the All-Star game is pretty entertaining, other than the fact that you got guys that go out for like one pitcher going out to face one batter. That sucks. As far as I'm concerned, my favorite game to watch, I feel bad for the goalies, but it's the NHL All-Star game.
Oh, that's the worst.
No, because I love watching the dangles and some of the things that these guys can do. When you got like the actual hockey players, not the Calgary Flames guys that make that team that are just, trip over their own stick, but the guys that can do things, to watch Mario Lemieux play in the All-Star game, or a guy like Jagr or a guy like Gretzky, and do the things that they can do when they're not being sticked and elbowed and all the bullshit extra nonsense that goes along with hockey, is unbelievable. You put those guys in a game of shinny, it is just pure magic.
But that's what it is. It's shinny. There's no defense. It sucks.
But you get to see, it's a showcase of just how talented these guys are.
If they were talented, they could do it with actual defense.
Well, they do it with...
There's been more defense in recent years.
What, when it was 15-14?
Yeah, used to, like, one year it was 16-6 Wales, But, that was back when scoring was super high in the NHL anyway.
And that's
Reynolds, are you saying that the NHL All-Star game is worse than the Pro Bowl?
No, not even close.
Okay, good.
Not even close.
I just wanted to clarify that.
It is
We're all in agreement that the Pro Bowl is the biggest sham of them all.
It is worse than the NBA All-Star game, though.
It's debatable. Oh. I prefer the NHL game, but typically the NBA All-Star game is, you're watching the best players in the NBA, try to be the first one to 150.
I got an All-Star game for you, Greg, that tops them all. The Senior Bowl.
Eh.
Eh?
Eh.
You're kidding.
No. Not into it.
Yeah, really? I would take the MLS All-Star game over the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, but Landon Donovan's so hot right now. So hot right now.
Can you name another MLS player?
No, I couldn't. That was the only guy I had.
What about David Beckham?
No, he's gone now. He's done.
Well, he's gone now.
One thing I guess we should touch on is Joe Flacco's monster contract.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
A lot of money for a guy that probably isn't going to win another Super Bowl.
Nope.
The problem is, they spend so much money on Flacco, they really don't have a lot of room to keep big free agents like Danelle Ellerbe and Paul Kruger.
Paul Kruger's going back to coach in Edmonton. He'll be fine.
Did you guys see?
I was waiting for you to take that one, Reagan.
Did you guys see? It was probably the best video I've ever seen in my life. There's this douchey receiver from Acadia up here in Canada. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And he's got his buddy filming him because he's trying to get an NFL shot. So he's doing this little toe tapping dance around some cones, and he's got his buddy who's a long snapper for the Eskimos, and he's gonna toss him a ball and he's gonna show his hands or something after he turns the last cone. Problem is, dude didn't get his head up, smoked him right in the nose, and now it's viral. It's the best.
Nice.
Canadian talent. It was almost too perfect.
I got two more notes on talent. Did you hear or see anything about this chick that went and tried out for...
Oh, God.
Did you see any of this?
Yeah.
What was it? She got it 25 time. Yards off the tee?
No, 19 and 19. 13, wasn't
19
it?
And 13.
Solid. Yeah.
So much for women ever getting a tryout in professional football ever again.
Well, that's the thing. We're not saying that women can't do it. We're saying this was the worst possible thing for it.
It's this is such a shot to the integrity that the first time anyone ever, it's not like the NFL went handpicked. This person did everything properly to get and earn, allegedly, this tryout, and then completely falsified anything that she claimed was true.
No, I agree. I think it was terrible. I honestly don't think there's anything worse you could have done for women being taken seriously in sports than that, except for Haley Wickenheiser scoring on her own net in the Finnish league.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a great comparable.
Those are 1 and 1A.
Why don't I get to play with the men? Oh, I scored on myself.
Manon Raume's 6.04 goals against average with Tampa Bay wasn't much better.
No.
Just wait till this Brittany Griner chick plays in the NBA.
Ugh, Brittany Griner.
It's a highlight when she dunks. She's like 7'5".
Yeah, but they stopped the game when that Lisa Leslie did it, apparently. The first time a woman ever dunked in a professional basketball
Jesus.
Game, they stopped the game to present her with a trophy.
Why doesn't the NBA, why doesn't the WNBA get more respect?
Why isn't Magic offering them $1 million to go head-to-head
oh,
in
God.
A God. Competition?
Just terrible.
She scored 50, so they're all impressed with her and whatever. I'm looking at the chicks that are guarding her. It's honest. It looks like David versus Goliath.
And with that jawline, it probably did look like David versus Goliath.
Wow.
The funny thing, and it's like I put on Twitter, she scored 50 and the team won 54-16 or something like that. Because she was standing in front of the thing like Dikembe Mutombo in that Geico commercial.
Yeah. Who was your other talent you were going to talk about?
Oh, and the other... Oh, man. What is it with idiot ex-pros doing pro days at their alma mater? Have you heard the latest?
Please tell me it was Vince Young at Texas.
Vince Young is going to be working out for NFL scouts at Texas.
Listen, I knew you were going to bring this up because I know you hate Vince Young.
Wow.
I like Vince Young.
I'll take Jamarcus Russell. You can have Vince Young.
Vince Young actually had success. In the NFL. Well, I believe his first year.
Did he ever sip on scissor, though?
Well, probably. It's delicious.
Yeah, that's true.
The nectar of the gods. But do you not remember, I believe his first year with Tennessee, they were like 7-9. But he had two, maybe even three, like 50-yard runs to win or tie the game late in the fourth quarter.
That's fantastic.
I never hated Vince Young. I felt like he was a weak thrower. But I feel like if you put him in the pistol nowadays, like RG3, he can do something.
Vince Young's mechanics make Philip Rivers look like poetry in motion.
Philip Rivers has thrown for thousands and tens of thousands of yards in the NFL. He's not a schmuck.
Yeah, but his mechanics are garbage.
Well, who cares about it? Jim Furyk's mechanics are garbage. Who cares?
Mechanics are the reason why Tim Tebow is not playing in the NFL.
No.
Yes.
Tim Tebow was playing in the NFL despite his mechanics. Then went to the Jets, and they wouldn't let him show what he can do.
Tim Tebow will not be an NFL quarterback because he cannot fix his mechanics.
Give Tim Tebow 10 games to start, and I hate Tim Tebow, but he's going to prove everybody wrong. Because he did it in Denver.
Write it down. Where's he going? I want to see it.
Where's he? Apparently, he's staying with the Jets.
So he's going to be the guy there?
No, they're just going to keep him around to really... They're basically Marcus Allen-ing him, if you guys catch my drift on that.
Nice. That's classy. Leave it to the Jets.
Oh, man. And I'm not comparing Tim Tebow to Marcus Allen. Get off my back. But you see what I'm saying. The guy was a starter. The guy went to the playoffs and won a game and then didn't get to start the next season. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he was playing. He was sitting behind a better quarterback.
No, he was not.
You take Tim Tebow to start over Mark Sanchez, really?
At least Tim Tebow's got the confidence.
Well... Confidence in what, though? I mean, at least Mark Sanchez has some God-given ability.
But he doesn't believe it.
In God? We know what's-his-name's got the market cornered on that.
As soon as Sanchez has a couple incompletions or a pick early in a game, it's over. It's done. He's not going to come back from it.
Well, maybe he needs to make a couple of calls to Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick's got more than enough talent or confidence.
So does Tim Tebow. Well, he had it in Denver. You guys aren't seeing this here. He won a playoff game as a starting quarterback.
I'm not arguing with you, Reynolds.
For a team that brought in a Hall of Fame quarterback and didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with you. I think Tebow's got something to prove, too. I think it's kind of sad, actually, that the Jets aren't going to give him a shot.
It's just, maybe this is the season. Maybe this is the season that they finally say, listen, Rex, bench your boy Mark and put in Tim. But I don't see another place for Tim Tebow to go.
Well, no, of course not.
No, he's not a very hot commodity.
No, there's nobody that desperate for someone that average or worse than average.
Okay, but how much expectations did the Denver Broncos have 2 years ago going into the season? In all honesty, 8-8?
2 years ago when he started?
Yeah.
You don't draft this guy in the first round and not expect him to play.
No, but what were the expectations in Denver when he went there?
Yeah, 8-8, 9-7. I think that was that season. That was about it.
Nobody was thinking playoffs.
No.
Nobody was thinking...
In that division, you can never rule playoffs out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like they had ruled it out in Denver that year. I feel like they were thinking, we'll go into this season, we'll develop Tebow. 2-3 years down the line, we'll be good. He proved him wrong. I hate Tim Tebow, and you guys don't understand how hard this is for me to stick up for him, but I just think it's a real shady move what the Jets are doing.
But didn't Kyle Orton start that season as the quarterback, and he was just kind of meh, so they were falling out of it, and then they put Tebow in, and he kind of...
They were like 2-5. Yeah.
Brought a little bit of life, and all of a sudden they ended up in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yep. So...
That could happen with the Jets, is what you're saying.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, they're...
Because Denver had been pretty bad for a while there, and like they were stockpiling talent. There were a lot of pretty good pieces. I mean, not great pieces, but underachieving good players in Denver when Tebow was there. I mean, Demaryius Thomas was a first-round pick, same year. No Sean Marino was a first-round pick.
No Sean Marino had nothing to do with that success.
Well, no Sean, he was in there for the first half of the season, and then he got hurt. But he's another one that just, God, talk about players that just can't pan out.
He was supposed to be so good. I remember watching him at Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. He finished up his career when Aaron Murray was a freshman freak show, and all they did was give him the ball, and he made everyone look stupid.
Yeah.
But it just didn't. It never translated to the pros, either because of injuries or poor work ethic. I don't want to cast stones.
Speaking of the Jets, and I guess a little bit of the Falcons, because this is a rumor now, Darrelle Revis to the Falcons or the 49ers?
It's not going to be to Atlanta.
No.
Why is that?
Atlanta's got corners.
Atlanta doesn't need a corner as badly as they need pieces in other areas, and I would think the asking price for Revis includes high draft picks. Falcons don't have those.
Well, San Francisco does. Darrelle Revis goes to San Francisco. Are they in the Super Bowl again?
San Francisco has high draft picks?
Yeah.
Who are they going to ship back the other way? You think it's just going to be draft picks, or they're going to be players going?
No, player trades don't really happen in the NFL. Well,
yeah, you got to figure that if you're the Jets and you're trading Revis, you have to get stuff to stock the cupboard, not guys that are going to play for a 4-12 team.
I think there's a stupid stat. Like, San Francisco has like 8 or 9 picks in the first 2 or 3 rounds.
Wow.
So, yeah, they could end up making a move for Revis, but it's not going to be the Falcons. The Falcons need other stuff.
And Wes Welker is going to test free agency.
Hooray.
Oh, come on. Really? You take him on the Saints any day.
Why? I've got Lance Moore.
Oh, you don't have anybody. You don't play for the team.
They have Lance Moore. That was my bad. A slip of the tongue.
Sure it was.
Yeah,
Freudian slip.
Welker's going to get a lot of interest.
From Indy. And do you know who they're going to replace him with? It's not Percy Harvin, unfortunately.
I was just going to say Percy Harvin?
Danny Lance Amendola.
Moore. Oh, that's boy, that's just a natural fit.
It is. Tit for tat. Like, the Patriots just don't care. They're kind of like the Honey Badger.
No, Amendola's got to stay healthy, though. And that's been a major problem.
Yeah, they got tricks up their sleeves in New England.
That's the one thing about Welker. He's had a pretty, for a little guy, he's had a pretty uninjured career. He's done pretty well.
You were just hating on the dude.
Well, I think he tests free agency and ends up back in New England. I think it's a non-story.
Really?
Yeah, you could be right about that.
He goes back to New England.
I don't know. I feel like the Patriots are one of those organizations that's like, listen, if you're going to test it, go.
Yeah, you could be right about that, too. Could go either way.
Steve, you love sitting on the fence.
I think the fact that he's testing free agency suggests that he's going to get enough money elsewhere to walk.
Oh, for sure. He's going to get a boatload of money somewhere in Indianapolis, and he'll go.
He's not going to end up in New Orleans. I can guarantee you that.
No, they don't need another wide receiver. They need something on defense for once.
Yeah, we don't need it. Fuck, I got it.
Hey-o!
No, they've got so many receivers still that...
I thought you were going to say so many holes, and you're right.
Well, on defense, it's bad, but hey, Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan, if there's one thing that guy can do, it's plug holes. Wow.
Have an idea or topic for an upcoming podcast? Visit freeforallsports.com
or hit us up on Twitter at FFA Sports.
What we're going to do now is we're going to make somebody, because it's March Madness time almost, we're going to make somebody an honorary Duke fan, which is the worst thing ever. Duke fans are douchebags and nobody wants to be a Duke fan. So my honorary Duke fan for today is our IT guy, Lloyd, because Lloyd says the Blackhawks streaks is so unimpressive, we shouldn't talk about it anymore. Lloyd says the Heat streak is so much more impressive than Chicago's streak. And I say to Lloyd, look at the strength of competition. Lloyd, in Miami's 16-game winning streak, they have played six teams above 500. In Chicago's streak, out of 13 teams, they have played nine teams above 500. Whose streak is more impressive?
That's about the dumbest thing I've heard Lloyd say since he drafted Jake Long three times in a row. It's ridiculous. It's not even close.
But Lloyd says we have somebody on this podcast who feels the same way.
He's putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that the Heat streak was more impressive. What I basically said to Lloyd was that you shouldn't even really be comparing the two, because the Heat are defending champions. The level of competition they face isn't even close. And typically in the NBA, if you're a good enough team, I mean, look at the Spurs. The Spurs are stomping people, too. They're just not doing it consecutively in a row. The fact that the Heat have strung so many games together really shouldn't be all that much of a shock.
It's what they were supposed to do.
Exactly. What Chicago has done is they have started a season playing head and shoulders above everybody else. And the biggest difference is that Miami's is a winning streak, Chicago's is not a winning streak, so you can't even compare the two.
But it is a streak.
It is, but there's a debate for a whole other time, but the idea that you even get points for losing is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
That's not debatable. That's what the NHL says. We're not making up rules. We're not giving them sympathy points. That's what the NHL says.
That's true, but they're still losses. So don't act like they've won 24 games in a row.
Nobody's saying they have. People are saying they've got points in 24 straight.
That's half the season.
Yep.
And it's so much harder, and I don't want to piss off basketball fans, but it is so much harder to win games in the NHL than the NBA, because if you have a good player in the NBA, you can have a fucking hope in hell of winning.
The parity in the NBA compared to the parity in the NHL, it's just not even close.
The Lakers and the Celtics have won half the championships in the NBA's history.
Yep.
It's not even close in the NHL.
LeBron could foul out in the first quarter, and the Pelicans could still lose. Easily still lose.
The who?
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans. Oh, fly, Pelican.
Fly, Pelican.
Let's not forget that Chicago's been playing a compressed schedule.
That, too. Tack that on.
Yeah.
And they've got Corey Crawford and Ray Emery as their goalies.
There's nothing close to what Chicago's doing right now. If you watch them play versus any team in the league, you're right when you said it earlier, Steve. I just didn't want to say it then because I wanted to save it for now. They are so far and away above every other team in the NHL. It's incredible. They're passing. They're defending. They're goaltending. Their team game. All of it is so incredible. And then they have these guys. Just Dan Carcillo scored the game winner.
And let's be honest, they're getting some luck.
Yes.
You have absolutely to be lucky to be good.
Absolutely. And a couple of bounces here and there in hockey are a whole hell of a lot more decisive than a couple of bounces in basketball, I'll tell you that.
And that's just the thing, is just because they're red hot right now doesn't mean that they're going to be red hot a month from now.
No, it's not talking about the future. It's talking about the streaks right now. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but to call them head and shoulders above everybody else and just say that they've got all of these things doesn't mean that those things are going to be winning them games. They've won a lot of really close games, like we discussed. They haven't been blowing teams out.
But in a compressed schedule, you're like, there's no way they should be able to do this, and they are. There's no way they should be able to do this.
Yeah, things
it's
happen in sports.
It's very impressive.
Very impressive. Now, who else is becoming an honorary Duke fan?
My honorary Duke fan this week and every week for the foreseeable future is Ken King, president of the Calgary Flames. You know, we didn't talk about the O'Reilly debacle. If you follow hockey, you already know basically what happened. I don't want to get into it. Jay Feaster should not be the general manager anymore. He should lose his job over this situation. But it goes even higher than him. And Ken King is the kind of guy who continually thinks that he knows how to run a hockey club, yet he continually brings in guys and green lights things that have made this team progressively get worse. Now they're going to be in the can for at least the next half decade. I think it has to go even higher than Feaster. I think the Flames need new blood entirely in their front office.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
Amen. You couldn't have said it any better.
I still like my idea, the Stephen Weiss for Brody, Horak, and Barchi. That should be coming around pretty quick, shouldn't it? Especially since as soon as Weiss goes under the knife for his wrist injury.
No, I thought he traded for the Magic Beans already.
Oh, right. He's out of the Stephen Weiss sweepstakes because he's got his Magic Beans. What a retard. Jay Feaster.
Ken King.
Yeah,
my favorite thing is the Calgary media being like, listen, there are other GMs out there that said they didn't know that rule either. Well, they're just as fucking dumb.
Yeah, they also didn't pull the trigger on the offer sheet.
Yeah, you have to know these things. If you are publicly embarrassed the way the entire Flames organization has been, heads gotta roll.
And it's never an excuse to say, well, they didn't know either.
No, you know what? I had a buddy of mine go on Twitter as soon as the story broke about how they almost completely fucked this up. He said, the Flames shouldn't have even made a statement. Not saying anything would have been better than what they said, saying, oh, we interpreted it differently, and oh, we saw it a different way than the NHL did. Don't say that shit. Don't make a statement at all. Say, we fucked up, fire people, and walk away. You don't try to justify it. It just makes you look even dumber.
It's like the dum-dum that made the comment about Saskatchewan's plane going down. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, sometimes what happens is it just happens because you're live on radio. Dude, don't say anything. You messed up. Just let it go away. Don't make a moronic statement like that.
Don't make any jokes about death. It's bad karma.
Yeah.
All right. I got so many, honestly, because there are a lot of idiots in this world, especially this past week. But I guess I'll speak for the group with our honorary Duke fan is we're going to just call him a flat-out bald-faced liar right now, and that's Rory McIlroy. Rory, withdrawing 8 holes into your second round after being 7 over through 8 without saying anything at a golf course that Jack Nicklaus designed, that Jack Nicklaus was attending the tournament, and not giving anyone any excuse, and eventually, a couple hours later, saying, oh, no, it was my tooth hurt. After initially saying that I just wasn't mentally in it, that's not what you do as a professional golfer or as a golfer, period. The one thing, and I put this out, another thing I said on Twitter, if there's one thing that I'm going to teach my kids, it's that you don't quit. Not dead, don't quit. And Rory quit, and he admitted, and I'm not even going to give him any credit, at his press conference saying that he quit and he's going to use this as a learning experience. Well, that's just not the case. And then to go and blame your swing, granted your swing's probably bad, the golf clubs aren't working. They're not. He's played 3 professional events as a Nike staff player. It's not working. The clubs aren't good. They don't work for you. Came on and said, no, it's not the clubs, it's my swing. Not true. The clubs aren't working, the ball isn't working, and you're not going to be anywhere close to number one if you don't get your head out of your ass, because he shot another 73 on day one at Doral, well off the pace when guys were shooting 66s and 65s. So, Rory, you're an honorary Duke fan for lying to us, thinking we're idiots, and just being a baby and being a quitter.
I wonder what clubs you would recommend.
I'd recommend he goes back to his Titleist. Seriously, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're the number one player in the world.
Yeah, he can't do that. He's not getting out of his contract.
Well, granted, the truck got backed up and they just emptied a garbage truck full of money on him. But you're getting paid to play golf well. He's not playing golf well anymore. One and one's got to add up to two at some point.
If he was 17, this would have been bad for him. What is he, 23?
Yeah.
That should be suspendable.
Oof. Could you imagine?
I can imagine. I don't understand why it's not a bigger deal. So well, now you can just quit?
I mean,
without any suspension, without any fine, without anything.
I'm surprised Jack didn't take him over his knee and just paddle his ass.
Like Jerry Sandusky?
No. Jack would have kept his...
Too knee. Soon?
Jack would have kept his gaunch on, whereas Jerry would have...
Okay.
Hey, big give out a David Putty high five.
Well, oh yeah, just throw me to the fucking wolves here. You guys are all fucking, we're all fucking laughing at Hey, big give your David Putty high five.
I'll do mine.
Okay.
I will give my David Putty high five to Rob Kerr.
Did he quit?
No, I wanted the reaction first because I wanted to give my David Putty high five to Rob Kerr because you know what, Rob? Takes a big man to show his vinegar strokes every night on television when the Flames are playing. And every time that the Flames get over the blue line, you come your pants and they're almost scoring and you don't get embarrassed by it. And I find that commendable. The fact that you can orgasm right beside Charlie Simmer several times a game from just a shot on goal and not get embarrassed by it and keep rolling with your job is very impressive. So congratulations, Rob.
Well done by Sportsnet replacing Labardius with that knucklehead.
Listen, Labardius needed to be replaced, but not by orgasm pants.
No. Labardius, I like Labardius play-by-play.
That guy was the worst.
Oh, I liked him.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll go back you, Reagan.
See, yeah.
You liked him?
I didn't mind Labardius. I wouldn't necessarily say I liked him, but I didn't mind him.
And that carom's wide, and that carom's off of a carom off of a carom.
What a dandy. See, I liked him.
For some reason, nobody taught me any word except for carom. Bounce, ricochet, any word. Peter, it's called a thesaurus.
The best is still Cuthbert, but after the Crosby,
the
golden goal.
No, Doc Emmerich's the best.
Emmerich is, yeah, okay.
The guy's money.
Yeah, Emmerich's awesome.
All right, give it a David Putty high five.
David Putty high five going to, and this is just a prostate exam for the IT guy, because my David Putty high five goes to LeBron James for sending out his tweet to the Chicago Blackhawks congratulating them on their streak of consecutive games, big, getting points, not their consecutive win streak, saying how impressed LeBron was with the way the Chicago Blackhawks are playing. That's a pretty stand-up move by a guy in the midst of his own streak. So, LeBron James, you got a David Putty high five.
LeBron James is really turning his image around, and I like it.
Well, he made one stupid mistake in a shirt that looked like a picnic table cover. And other than that, LeBron James was never a bad dude.
No, but it was probably the biggest bad decision you could have made.
Oh, yeah. The dumbest.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing you could ever
do. Not leaving Cleveland, but just the way you went about it, man. That was...
Could have been done a lot better.
And we'll go caroming to Steve Vegas. We'll carom with a David Putty carom high five.
My David Putty high five, and everybody else has already said all that needs to be said, but my David Putty high five is going to Stompin' Tom Connors, who most people I don't think realize until now that it's big news that he passed away at age 77, but he's been pretty impactful on the world of sports in terms of what gets played, particularly at hockey games. The hockey song is one of the first songs I ever remember hearing. They don't play it at every game in Calgary anymore. They used to. Up until just a couple of years ago, every time you went to a hockey game, you heard the good old hockey game by Stompin' Tom Connors. It's an iconic Canadian song. And just for that, I think Tom Connors had a tremendous impact. He was a very proud Canadian. And the hockey song, is there another sports song that is so closely tied to a sport?
Too Unlimited, There's No Limit.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Tribal Dance.
Maybe the
tribal,
popcorn
tribal
song.
Dance. That whole Too Unlimited album is a classic.
James Brown is dead.
But those,
if you haven't warmed up to James Brown, haven't warmed up in volleyball to James Brown is dead, then
but,
you should.
Yeah, but are those songs about sports?
How about Eye of the Tiger?
But what sport is that connected to?
Boxing.
Is that a sport?
No, we're just busting your balls, Steve. You're 100% right.
I'm just wondering if you guys can think of anything else.
Yeah, the song You're the Best during the Valley High Karate Tournament that Daniel LaRusso won.
When the hell do you ever hear that at a sporting event?
Every time he's down in his dojo.
Every time I go to a karate tournament, it's playing. Hello.
Hey, that was pretty obvious.
What's wrong with you? Or anytime I hear wind chimes, that's associated with football.
Hey, Steve, did you see the message that Stompin' Tom left for his fans?
Yes,
hello out
I
there.
Did.
I'm up in the air.
Holy shit. Somebody shut this guy off.
It's impossible.
I'm
yes,
floating
I did,
to heaven tonight.
I did see that, right?
That's pretty awesome. Pretty classy move.
Yes.
Pretty cryptic move.
What did he die of?
Old age?
Natural causes was the
is that right?
Reported, yep.
Too much stomping.
One of the anyway, they who was I talking? I was talking to someone today about Stompin' Tom, and they're like, "The guy was a country singer. He was only 77. You think he'd live a lot longer?" And I'm like, "Country singers party just as hard as everybody else. You
harder.
Ever watch Walk the Line?
Harder.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really a country singer. He's basically a folk singer. He basically just traveled around writing tunes about Canada. It's kind of awesome, actually."
Yeah, he was like a talented version of Tom Cochrane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. With two balls.
Until next time, this has been the Free For All Sports Podcast. Visit freeforallsports.com or tweet us at FFA Sports.